the Rebel Room. Today's lineup, I'm Case Kiefer with Mike Grimala. We've had a week to sit on this upcoming matchup this Saturday, UNLV at Wyoming, to open Mountain West Conference play. We talked a little about it last week, but a lot more to dive into, a lot more time to think about it going in to Saturday. So, Mike, where do you stand right now with the Rebels? What's on the top of your mind going into this trip to Laramie?
It's obviously a must-win. You know, it's probably the second game that you could say that about. You know, they, and especially with the first test of the season when they hosted Arkansas State and they just got beat so badly, that makes this game, you know, this is pretty much it. If you lose this game, you're 1-3. You're going into the hardest part of the schedule, it's pretty much over. I mean, it's hard to say that at this point in the season. It's difficult to hear, probably for fans, but especially the ones who came in with high hopes that this was the bowl breakthrough year. But if you lose this game, it's pretty much over. So you want to see UNLV respond in kind. You want to see them play as though, you know, this is the fight. This is the game that means everything. You want to see them come out with their best game plan. You want to see them do whatever it takes to win. Coaching wise, in terms of players, in terms of how they approach the game. So I don't know. The matchup to me is not favorable for them. Well, what do you think?
I didn't get a chance to fully read your story today. I'm just perusing right now. We're recording on a Wednesday. So I'll do what I
do. You want me to give you the Cliff Notes?
Yeah, I'll
version?
Do. Well, I was going to do what I typically hate and judge it off the headline, but maybe it's better
all
if you give. Okay. All right. Good.
So they had their weekly press conference leading up to the game, and you know Wyoming is a team defensively. They play they stack the line of scrimmage. They get a lot of sacks. They're number four in sacks. They play man to man on the outside, and they basically challenge you. Hey, throw the ball down the field because we're gonna blitz your quarterback, and we're gonna get there before you can throw it. And it's working for them. They're number four in sacks. They only average, you know, I think it was 2.1 yards per carry. So I mean, they win at the line of scrimmage with that strategy. And so Tony Sanchez and Armani Rogers came out this week and said, you know, we're going to have to throw it to beat their defense. And that's the same thing they said before the Arkansas State game. And you saw what happened there. Armani was 8 of 23. Just anytime UNLV starts talking about, you know, going away from the running game, before the game even starts, that gives me a huge pause. Like, that makes me think, I'm not quite sure about that. So whether that's a smokescreen on Tony's part, you know, putting that out there, or not. I mean, if they're going to come out and their plan is to try and sling it around the field, first of all, they can't protect Armani Rogers. In the last two games, he's been sacked 6 and 5 times, so I don't even think they can give him the time to throw those deep routes. Second of all, I don't think he's accurate enough to win a game like that, especially on the road. So that's the Cliff's Notes version of that story today.
Yeah, to me, that's... it's kind of a conundrum, and maybe goes back to what you said about this being a bad matchup for them, because... I mean, I'm all about the evolution of football, and I like teams that are doing more creative stuff, but there's something to be said for zigging when everyone else is zagging and playing to your strength. And I feel like what Craig Bohl's done at Wyoming makes a lot of sense. They play like 1970s football. I mean, that's the kind of guys they have are strong up front. They play at one of the most deliberate paces in the nation, usually. And they're really good at what they do. So on the one hand, you don't want to just try to play them at their strengths. So I think on, you know, just on the surface, maybe this is a good idea for UNLV to try to do some of those things. But like you said, we just haven't seen any evidence that they're actually capable of it. So I don't really know what you do.
If this is a must-win game, if you're Tony Sanchez for this, let's do like a role-playing thing. You're Tony Sanchez. You know how badly you need to win this game and everything that's at stake for you personally, professionally, for the team this season. You're going into this game. Do you want to throw the ball 30 times with everything that's at stake, or do you want to hand it off 45 times and see what happens? I'm gonna hand it off to the number two rusher in the nation, and I'm gonna see how many yards he can rush for against this 8 and 9 man front, and see what happens.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, honestly, if I'm Tony Sanchez, I'm probably running Armani a lot too.
Yeah,
I think maybe there's a middle ground between running Charles Williams 45 times and throwing 30 times. I don't know. Maybe you try to get more creative in the run game, which I know they've been strong at times. You know, I just feel like ABC football, you're not going to beat Wyoming at. But then again, like I said, you haven't shown the ability to do the other thing. So maybe somewhere in between, get creative, find ways to try to get Armani in space and, you know, kind of counter that with some Charles Williams look. So I guess my answer would be, if I'm Tony Sanchez, somewhere in the middle of the two extremes you just gave me.
Yeah, yeah, the Armani running the ball thing is important. That's, you know, when they're at their best, maybe even more so than Charles Williams running. Just Armani is such a huge threat. He can get those short yardage situations. He can break big plays. Yeah, I could see that. After 5 minutes of just, you know, slamming the matchup and saying how unfavorable it is for UNLV, I do think that they there's an opportunity for them, maybe defensively, to stay in this game. That's why I'm sort of leaning towards, you know, run the ball, try and play defense, stay in the game that way. Wyoming's coming into this game banged up on the offensive line. Right guard and right tackle, both starters expected to be out. They got a freshman and a sophomore filling in those spots. So one of the things I've been looking at, the last two games, Gabe McCoy, who had such a great year last year for UNLV, you know, defensive end, linebacker, hybrid, rushing the passer, led the team in sacks, led in tackles for loss, missed the season opener due to eligibility. The last two games, he hasn't done much. No sacks yet this season. This is a game where maybe you turn him loose. Maybe this is a chance to spring him, and you can win that battle defensively up front. And you can play a defense and field position kind of game, which is, how many of those have we seen at UNLV over the during the Tony Sanchez era? Almost none. Like, that's hardly ever. So a couple of the games against UNR, I think, sort of turned into that. But for the most part, they're shootouts or they're blowouts. I think this has a chance to maybe be that in between, you know, we're going to run it, field position, possess the ball, you know, 20 to 17 kind of game. I feel like they have a better chance of winning that kind of game than they do coming out and slinging it and, you know, trying to win 35 to 30. And the defense is going to have to be a part of that.
Yeah, certainly. I think I didn't realize that's a big selling point for UNLV, those cluster injuries on the offensive line. I think always, I don't think a lot of stock is usually put into that, but time and time again, you see that is a huge, when you have those injuries piling up at one position, especially if it's up front, and especially if it's for a team like Wyoming that relies on that, I think that's a big deal. So that could play in UNLV's favor. And, you know, I also didn't mean to only praise Wyoming earlier when I said that they're so good at what they do, and that's why it's a bad matchup for UNLV. I think the flip side of that is playing that style, that, you know, physical grinding style. I feel like, just man-to-man, UNLV has the more impressive athletes. You think they're probably a little more explosive. So if you can find a way to, you know, get Charles Williams or Armani Rogers loose, if you can find a way, you know, you were talking about last week how they've really had some standout performers on defense. If those guys make some plays, I think there's a edge to the Rebels in that regard.
Yeah, it's athletically, UNLV, this is one of the most athletic teams they've had. Defensively, I don't know if Wyoming is sort of, you know, just equipped to take advantage of UNLV's their weaknesses offensively. Like, passing wise, like, are they going to, you know, carve up UNLV down the field the way that some other opponents have? Not really. If you look at their passing numbers through the first three games, it's just not something they do. So yeah, it's a chance for, if you don't give up any big plays, which you shouldn't against this Wyoming offense, you can sort of stay in there and do the road game thing where you hang around and try and wear them down with your big offensive line, grinding it down, some long possessions, take advantage of their banged-up offensive line to, you know, get a sack and get them off the field with a three and out, something like that. Stay fresh, stay ahead of the chains, like all those things. It can work in your favor. It's just, Are you going to do that? Or are you going to come out and throw the ball and sort of get into one of those situations where you're pitting your weakness against their perceived weakness? I'd rather go with the strength, but I don't know if any of that makes sense. I'm just sort of...
No, it totally does. One thing I'm wondering, because I ended up not watching this game because it was just a blowout by halftime. My plan was to watch the second half. We may have already talked about this on the podcast, but I didn't realize you said that going into the Arkansas State game, they said the same thing. What did they actually do in the first half? Did they stick by that? Did they try to sling it around, or was it a misdirect thing?
No, they came out and they threw it a lot. I mean, their first possession was a pick six from Armani Rodgers, that the first thing they came out and did, and you're down 7-0 right after that. And then I want to say they threw it 16 or 18 times in the first half, something like that. I would have to go back and look, so don't hold me to that. But they did come out and they threw it a lot in the first half, and they fell down big, and that was pretty much what cost them the game, I think, was just coming out and not being able to move the ball in the first half, giving the ball right back to Arkansas State, letting them run out to a 20-point lead. And that was, it was the same thing in the press conference before. It was, Arkansas State, they're going to key on the run. We're going to have to throw it to beat them. We're going to need our receivers to make plays. Armani's going to have to be on target. Those things don't always – I mean, those things don't happen at the same time for UNLV. Very rarely do you have games where Armani's on target, the receivers are getting open, receivers are making defenders miss, they're making plays down the field. That's just not the kind of offense that they have. So when they say they're going to come out and do that, that's why I bring it up and, I'm sort of leery of it, especially the way it went down in week two.
Absolutely, yeah. That makes me – leads me to believe that –
And when they said it,
it's
in week
probably
two,
true.
When they said it in week two, I went around. And I think on this podcast, I said, that sounds like a smokescreen to me because I don't think they're actually going to do that. That's probably Tony just putting it out there for their coaches to hear, for the Arkansas State coaches to hear and game plan for. But then they actually came out and did it, so that's why I'm sort of thinking, it doesn't sound like a smokescreen this time either. They're probably going to come out and try to take their shots downfield. And hey, maybe Armani hits a deep ball. Maybe it does work. And someone makes a play for him on a contested catch or something like that. It's just, I'm not saying it can't work. It's just something that hasn't worked for them in the past.
Right. Well, back to the optimistic view of the Rebels. Another thing we mentioned last week, but I do think it bears repeating and kind of plays into the injuries we talked about for Wyoming, but UNLV should also be the fresher team here. They're coming off a bye week. Wyoming went to Tulsa, a 24-21 loss. It looks like statistically they might have played as well as they played all season, but still lost a close game. But I guess that's another benefit for the Rebels, maybe, that they're the little bit more rested team. And just going back to how important this game is, I think the other major talking point is you look at the next 3 weeks after this, Boise at Vanderbilt at Fresno. It's just really hard to find a win in there. Any of them are going to be a big upset. So, I mean, this is your best chance for a victory for a month. And if you lose this one and lose the next three as you're supposed to, I mean, who knows the state of the program at, what would that be at the time? 1-5, 1-6?
Yeah, if you lose this to go to 1-3, you could be 1-6 in a blink of an eye. That's basically what this game is, So that's why it's a must win. If you lose it, there's really no path to 6 wins or to 7 wins that I can see, unless, there's some kind of miracle. But this is it. This is your chance, and your what's the line on this? Is it? I know that it jumped like right after it went up.
Yeah, I had not even seen. I thought it was still 7 until we started talking, and I went back and looked up to 9.5 for Wyoming.
What does that tell you?
That tells me some smart people like the Cowboys. There's kind of a misconception that lines move that much early in the week just because a lot of bets are on one side, but it takes some real money, some real action to push it up that far. However, the other thing could be, I highly would doubt this, but sometimes you see a fake move like that where guys want to get down big on the other side later in the week when limits are increased. I don't think that's the case here, but it is within the realm of possibility. So the bigger money right now is on the Cowboys.
Is, would you think this would be fair to say that 9.5, is that the best, the smallest line that UNLV is going to face in the next month? Like, they're going to be double digits in the next 3 games easily.
Yeah,
right?
Certainly in the next month. I mean, Boise,
20 plus.
Yeah, is at home, but 20 plus. Trying to look at some of the numbers I use. Who's next? Vanderbilt's defense is terrible. Maybe that's a chance for them, but still, they're probably at least 14 there, at least. Probably a little bit over 2 touchdowns. And then at Fresno, I mean, I know Fresno's young and not quite the team they were last year, but I still think that's probably in the same range. I would think Fresno's power rate about the same as Vanderbilt, so probably 15 or 16 in that game too. So I think you're at least a 2-touchdown dog in all the next 3 games, and Boise, probably you're the biggest underdog even though you're at home. Sound right to you?
Yeah, it does. I mean, so if you're UNLV, it comes down to you've got to win a game where you're basically a double-digit underdog on the road. You have to win that game. That's a tough ask.
Absolutely. Anyone else, I guess, personnel-wise or narrative-wise, anything that we didn't touch on in this breakdown of the game?
Interesting. Drew Techman was ejected from the last game against Northwestern in the second half for a helmet-to-helmet targeting. So he's going to miss the first half of this game. That's how that rule works. So I think you're out for the second half of that game, out for the first half of this game. It's an area, the defensive backfield, where they're really thin. Greg Francis came in again in the Northwestern game. He's got experience, but he's not as fast. He's not as quick in open space as Techman. So something to watch, you know, if Wyoming does want to take a shot at some point. That's not really, you know, something that they're known to do. But if you want to, you know, try and pick on that replacement safety, something that to look for. But like I said, this is a game where the UNLV secondary should not get exploited too much. Most teams can exploit them, create big plays, run through tackles, scheme guys wide open against them because they're not a great secondary. I don't think Wyoming can do it as much, but that's something to watch for.
Absolutely. Going to be interesting to see if they can hold up there, a place where they've had some attrition, as you said. I don't know. Anything else to touch on before we snap out of here? I know basketball practice sort of underway.
Yeah, right? they had their first practice on Tuesday. Typical first practice stuff. Everyone seems to be excited. It was interesting to note all the players, the returning players anyways that I know from last year, just looked different, looked leaner. I know the conditioning is big. Otzelberger wants to play at a fast pace, push the ball up and down the floor. So Bryce Hamilton looked, you know, much different. He looked much thinner, leaner. Amori Hardy looked leaner. And just the general theme of the practice was they were just fast, you know, on the court. They're zipping up and down the court. No breaks in between plays. They're just running and running and running. In between drills, they're running. Amori Hardy said if you went to get water during practice, coaches made you run to the cooler and run back. So that's sort of what they're trying to instill early in training camp is get them up to that Otzelberger kind of tempo. And the players seem to like it. You know, that's how kids like to play. So everybody's sort of positive at this time of the season. So, yeah, that was the general vibe there.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I know I feel like a general skepticism among the fan base because they've heard this, you know, they're going to get up and run and fast pace so much and they don't believe it anymore. But believe it this time. I mean, all in.
Otzelberger actually will. You know, if you look at the, like, tempo numbers for, like, KenPom adjusted tempo, they weren't, like, you know, top 10 or top 5 in the country. I think they were number 40 in tempo. But the thing is, the pace within every possession, the ball is zipping around from one guy to the next. So it's not so much as we're fast breaking on every play. It's we're pushing it up the floor. We're throwing 5 or 6 quick passes, like, in the first 5 seconds of the shot clock, and we're going to get an open shot. So that's more what it is. Just the ball is constantly moving. The players are moving in the half court. They're all, you know, switching places. They're setting screens. They're moving around. The ball is moving. That's what they want to do. So when I say pace and tempo, yes, I mean how quick are your possessions? How many shots are you getting up? But I also mean within each possession, how fast is the ball moving and stuff like that. You're not seeing a lot of guys holding the ball, looking at the defense, waiting for guys to set up. They're just getting it and going.
That should be fun. Pretty brand of basketball. Not too long now before that becomes a weekly staple of our talk here on the Rebel Room. We certainly hope that football is still relevant to talk about then, too. But for that to happen, UNLV has got to win this weekend at Wyoming, which I hope we made clear. We'll be back next week, win or lose, to talk more about UNLV going into their game with Boise State. For Mike, I'm Case. Thanks for listening.